Good morning, and welcome
Talk
to
Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Internet Show. My name is Sharon Jackson, a member of the Palm Beach Life Planners. This morning, I am in the virtual studio with some of my fellow Palm Beach Life Planners, Ann McNeil, president and founder of the International Mastermind Association and the owner of the MCO and Instruction, Betty Knighton, president and CEO of Emerge Publishing Group, and Stephanie Banks of Stephamar Travel. Today, our goal is to review Chapter 11 of Think and Grow Rich, the subconscious mind, the connecting link, and the 11th step to riches. This promises to be a very, very interesting show, so I invite you to call, text, or email a family friend, a family member or friend, and tell them that we're on the air right now, and they can join us by the internet by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or by calling in by phone on 661-554-9219. Stephanie Ebanks, can you talk to our listeners about the various ways they can communicate with us on the show?
Long Talk Radio.
My name is Stephanie Ebanks, and I'm part of the Palm Beach Life Planners. I think we've kind of lost our host, Ms. Sharon Jackson, temporarily. We want you to call in, or you can go to internet, blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us in the chat room. And if you have a question for our host, you press 1, and we will talk to you directly regarding any issue that you'd like to discuss on our masterminders. Now, let me see if our host, Ms. Sharon Jackson, is back with us. I know we were experiencing some technical difficulties. Sharon, are you there? Yes,
I am. I just came back on. Thank you so much for carrying on. Let me ask you, I just came on. Did you talk to our listeners about the various ways they can communicate with us?
I certainly did.
Thank you very much. Ann McNeil, the president and CEO of the MCO Construction, would you lead us into the discussion of telling our listeners and audience about the Mastermind Association?
Spiritually, family, financial, education, health, personal development, business and careers, recreation, civic involvement, and creatively. We also mastermind our lives and our businesses for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and some of us are looking at a vision of our lives for what we'd like to see our relatives doing at least 100 years from now in terms of the legacy that we've lived and the life of significance we've left behind for others to build upon. So thank you, Sharon, and that's how we mastermind.
Excellent. For the next few weeks, we're going to be reviewing Chapter 11 of Think and Grow Rich. What we'd like to do now is to do an a review of Chapter 10. Betty Knighton, are you on the call? Would you like to do the review? Chapter 10 was the section on the mystery of sex transmutation. There was a large and very, very lively discussion last week on sex transmutation. It's a long chapter, but basically it talks about the fact that in many lives of our young people and just the population in general, there was a question as to why do people not become forward-thinking and start focusing on wealth and developing wealth and riches and empires, usually until the time in their late 20s and 30s. And they were saying that a lot of times youth, teenagers, and young people are so fixed on the flesh, on the trends, on sexual entertainment, until it's not until later life that they start referring on the deeper things of life. When that part of their life starts slowing down, the energy is not gone. It just starts transforming into other ways. It was a very, very interesting conversation. Betty, are you on the call?
Sharon, this is Ann McNeil. Can you hear me?
I just am now starting to hear.
Yes, I just would like to interject regarding the sex transmutation. Sharon?
Yes, thank you.
I basically wanted to just reiterate some of the conversations that Mega Minds discussed last week. When we think about transmutation, transmutation focuses on changing one type of energy into another type of energy. And when we are young, and some of us are still very young, we think about the energy we expend on the whole subject surrounding sex in our teens and in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and even in our 60s. And when you think about taking that energy and transferring that energy into your definite chief purpose, and many of us, when we think about a dream or a goal or a vision that we have in our lives, we often think about how do we take some of the time and some of the energy that we have that we expend on the idea of being involved in a relationship with someone, and just the all of the energy that involves that, taking that energy and putting that, transferring, if you will, or transmuting, if you will, that energy into, for example, a project, a business, a different area of your life. And that's one of the ways that we can look at how do we use sex transmutation, if you will, in terms of taking that energy and transferring into another area. So I just wanted to just share that in terms of some thoughts that were shared last week by Mega Minds. Cher, are you there? Hello? All right, well, this is Ann McNeil again. I'd like to read something from page 203 regarding sex transmutation. It basically says that transmutation of sex energy calls for more willpower than the average person cares to use for this purpose. Those who find it difficult to summon willpower sufficient for transmutation may gradually acquire this ability. Though this requires willpower, the reward for the practice is more than
worth the effort. The entire subject of sex is one about which the majority of people appear to be unpardonably ignorant. The sexual urge has been grossly misunderstood, slandered, and burlesqued by the ignorant and the evil-minded for so long that the very word sex has taken on lascivious and often sordid connotations. Men and women who are known to be blessed, yes, blessed, with high sex drives are frequently looked upon with suspicion and even contempt. Instead of being considered normal, healthy, and blessed, they're often considered abnormal, flawed, or even base. Millions of people, even in this age of enlightenment, have inferiority complexes, which they develop because of this false belief that a high sex drive is a curse. Yet statements about the virtue and sexual energy should not be construed as a justification for this libertine. The emotions of sex is a virtue only when used intelligently and with discrimination. It may be misused, and often is, to such an extent that it debases instead of enriches both body and mind. The better use of this power is the purpose of the explanations that are given in this chapter. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Lynn. Okay. Betty, I have just opened up your mic. Is there anything that you would like to add?
Yes, I would, regarding the sex transmutation. Something a young man said to me some time ago, he is in his 40s now, but he made the statement that through his 20s, his 30s, and into the early 40s, his focus was strictly physical. But now he has a different focus. He transfers some of that excess energy into projects and dreams, desires, and goals. So now he's making a positive use of it. And one good example was Napoleon Bonaparte. As long as he had his Josephine, as long as he had her to arouse all his creative sexual energy, he was conquering the world. But once he got so overconfident and overcocky that he set Josephine aside, he started to decline because he no longer had that excessive energy being transmuted into something positive. So there are a lot of good examples in that chapter of sexual transmutation and how it can be used not just for the physical but for ages, and it's been proven that a lot of the highly sexed men, and as they said, women too, have been creative geniuses. It's the difference between mediocrity and genius, all in the way you use that excessive energy, because it will have, everything has an outlet. It's just like a river being dammed up. After so long, that river will overflow. Same thing with that extra sexual energy. So it needs to be channeled into something positive, something creative, something that's going to make things better or make things happen. And they give examples of some of the great men over history who have been good examples of that. But, you know, the interesting thing I found was that in this chapter on sex transmutation, he listed 10 stimuli. And the one at the very bottom was actually drugs and alcohol. He listed that as a stimuli. But what happens, that's the kind that will eventually destroy you. But it was amazing to me because one of my favorite poets in high school was Edgar Allan Poe, and he wrote the poem called The Raven. He wrote that poem under the influence of alcohol. I never knew that until I was reading this chapter. So it's interesting of the things that will stimulate our minds and stimulate our creativity. Some of them are very positive, and some of them not quite so positive. But just wanted to add that.
Excellent, Betty. Very good. You always have a wealth of information and knowledge. Now to start on our discussion of the subconscious mind, I'd like to start off with the first page, which is absolutely incredible. It starts talking about the subconscious mind. It consists of a field of consciousness in which every impulse, every thought, every sensation that reaches your objective mind through any of the five senses, your sight, your hearing, your smell, your taste, is classified and recorded forever. And you can recall it and bring it out anytime you would like, just like going to a filing cabinet and pulling out a letter or a file. Your subconscious mind remembers and files everything. It receives and files senses, impressions, or thoughts, regardless of the nature. Everything that you see, everything that you feel, everything that you experience during the day is filed through your subconscious mind. Does anyone from the Palm Beach Life Planners want to discuss that any further?
Well, one thing we know, that the subconscious mind works day and night. It never sleeps. We don't understand how, we don't understand all the procedures, but we do know that it works day and night. And it draws on all the forces of infinite intelligence, and we call infinite intelligence God or divine intelligence or whatever you want to call it, but it draws upon those forces of infinite intelligence for the power with which it transmutes a person's desire into its physical equivalent. So it makes use of the most practical media by which this can be accomplished, and the subconscious mind is very, very powerful. And as we go through this chapter, we will see, we've heard over and over again about the power of the subconscious mind. Volumes of books have been written. This is just one chapter, but this chapter ties into everything that we have studied previously in this book. It ties into this chapter. Now, we can't entirely control our subconscious mind, but we can voluntarily hand it over to a plan or a desire or a vision that we want to transform into concrete form. That's one of the reasons in Mastermind we are so diligent about doing our affirmations, and we take all the 10 areas that we mastermind and we create affirmations for each of those areas. And then based on that affirmation, we create a plan, because we understand that whatever we feed into our subconscious mind, it will eventually manifest. So we have to be careful to feed something into it positively, because if we're not feeding anything into our subconscious mind, there's going to be something there, but we won't like what it is. It's going to pick up all the negative vibrations. So we want to, as much as we can, control what's going into our subconscious mind.
Thank you. Excellent thought. The other part about that I'd like to expound on is that your subconscious is that part that feeds into the infinite, which I think that you've already mentioned. It alone contains the secret process by which mental impulses are modified and changed into their spiritual equivalent. It's the medium through which prayer can be transmitted to the source that is capable of answering prayer. Very much like Betty just mentioned, you can mouth the words, you can say things, but until you go into your subconscious mind, until you enter into the depths of your soul, it's that part of you that begins to connect to the infinite. And the infinite then begins to download into your conscious about everything, all of the secrets of the universe. It is the most interesting and outstanding thing that you can absolutely discuss or think or ponder on. Your subconscious mind functions automatically, and Betty's already said it's whether you make any effort to influence or not. thoughts and things and ideas are passing by us every day. It's up to us as to whether we accept or not and how we use them. And that's why Betty was talking about focusing on the positive. Focusing and planting down into your subconscious those things that are going to bring all of the positive areas into your life. Stephanie or Anne, would you like to expound further on the subconscious?
Hi, good morning, Sharon and Stephanie. You know, the subconscious is such a powerful tool, and we don't really understand it. It's one part of the brain that is really not fully understood. But the one thing we need to know is that it can make and break your life. You can use it to just make your life so much better by just focusing on the things that you want and just punching it into your subconscious so that your subconscious, and if you do it over and over and over and over again, repetition is so important to the subconscious. You know, the more you do it, the more you train the subconscious mind to bring you to those things that you want. And that is what it's just a powerful tool. And it's a simple tool. But, you know, we don't always use it the way we should because we don't really, like we said, we don't really know a lot about it. And a lot of people don't know that you can train your subconscious to help you get where you want to go. So that is what I think. Sharon, I just want to remind all our listeners on the air to join us by pressing 1 on your phone if you'd like to have a question, or you can go to our chat room and post your questions there, or tweet or Facebook us, and we will be happy to answer your questions. Back to you, Sharon.
Thank you very much. And I have opened up your mic, and I'm sure that there are things that you wanted to add to this discussion. The book talks
about... While we're waiting on... Can I say something? Adding to what Stephanie just said about repetition, that goes back to habit. But when we go back to that, we use the directions that we were given in Chapter 2 on faith. So all of these are important in developing our subconscious mind, the faith, the persistence. And as Sharon said, you don't just mouth the words when you're doing affirmations. You've got to say it with faith. You've got to say it with emotion and feeling. Otherwise, it just does not work. So we have to master faith. We have to be patient. We have to be persistent. And so it's just important that we remember that our subconscious mind functions automatically, whether we make an effort to influence it or not. And we cannot say that too much because it's just so, so very important. So this naturally suggests to us that thoughts of fear and thoughts of poverty and all those other negative thoughts that serve as stimuli to our subconscious mind, we've got to guard against those, and we've got to master those impulses and give our subconscious mind more desirable food. Otherwise, it may feed upon that negative food. So we keep saying this, but that's because it's just so very, very important.
And Anne McNeil says all the time, it also says it in the book, thoughts are things. Thoughts are things. And Betty, I think that one of the reasons why you said this, and I'd like for you to go farther into your conversation about thoughts are things, the reason why it is important as to where you concentrate your time in thought and energy manifest itself. Betty and Anne in particular, I really, really would like for you to expound on how thoughts become things.
Okay, thoughts, we have thought impulses. They can be positive or they can be negative. But it's important to remember that we live daily in the midst of all kinds of thoughts. We cannot totally avoid negativity because we live in this environment. So it's sometimes difficult to keep things from reaching our subconscious mind, but We just have to be diligent to guard our thoughts. Now, some of those impulses are negative, some of them are positive, but what we do, we engage in trying to shut off that flow of negative impulses, okay? And we try to voluntarily influence our subconscious mind through positive thought impulses, and it goes back to desire. Everything in this book, Think and Grow Rich, takes us back to chapter one, desire. That is the very first step of riches. So we go back to desire. Now, when we achieve this, we can possess the key which unlocks the door to our subconscious mind. And in addition to that, we can control that door so completely that no negative thought will influence our subconscious mind. Even if it slips through, it won't influence our subconscious mind because we have programmed positive thoughts into our mind. So everything we create begins in the form of a thought. I don't care what kind of invention, what kind of project, it all started with a thought. And nobody can create anything which he didn't first conceive in thought. So now that brings you into imagination, okay? So through the aid of the imagination, the thought impulses can now be assembled into plans. So you can see the orderly process of this. You have a desire, you have the imagination, you have a plan. It all leads up to this. So that's one of the reasons we are studying this book, because it is truly one of the greatest personal development books ever written. So if Ann wants to add something to this, she can, but we just have to remember that thoughts come before the plan.
Very good, Betty. Ann? Your mic is open.
Thank you, Betty. I think that was very well put. When you think about the six steps Napoleon Hill discusses in Think and Grow Rich, he talks in step number six about the fact that we should take that affirmation, read it upon rising, read it again upon retiring every single day. And when we first started our mastermind meeting back in 1980, 81, 82, we really did not know what we were doing. We actually did exactly what he said. We came up with a very short paragraph that we could memorize, and we would report on a weekly basis the fact that we were, in fact, reading that statement in the morning and we were reading that statement in the evening. And the reality is, just as Betty said, the power of your subconscious mind and thinking about not even so much doing, but just the thinking subconsciously, getting deep, deep, deep down into your subconscious, the ideas of what you want to achieve, the spirit has a way of drawing to you your thoughts. And so as we really, really, really delve into the processes and the systems that Napoleon Hill has created, which, by the way, are based upon the book, which is the Bible, and when the word says, as a man thinketh, so is he, as Betty suggested, it starts with our thoughts. So that's all I want to share, Sharon, because this is such a powerful, powerful chapter. We could actually invest the entire month of February just on this chapter alone. But I think we may also have some other callers like Annette Ireland that may also have some comments about this subject.
Absolutely. I like to tell the story about last year, the year before, when I was going to Orlando to the World Money Show with Mia Merritt. And we're winging our way to Orlando North in her new Mercedes. And she says, Sharon, you know, I called this car out of the infinite. And I said, Mia, what are you talking about? We must have Mia to explain this process again. She did exactly what Anne said. Before she got up in the morning, she thought about the car. She thought about what it looked like, what it felt like, what it smelled like every day before she did anything else. It was an incredible process. She says, sometimes I'm driving this car, Sharon, and I still wonder, is this real or is this me still pulling it out of the infinite? I see that we have a caller. I'm opening up your mic. The number is, the last four digits are 2797. Would you like to speak?
This is Annette Ireland.
Very good, Annette. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
I just want to make a comment on the word T-H-O-U-G. We do. Comes with a thought. Example. When I first got into Mastermind, there was this, you know, the main part about affirmations. I was struggling with affirmations, with writing the affirmation. And it was like, it was, this was something I just wanted to do, but I wanted to write the affirmation in the right way. And it bugged me for years about the way to write it, because I wanted to write it to make sure that it would manifest. To make sure that the thought, whatever I thought, would manifest. And so I studied different ways of writing an affirmation. And last April, so you're talking, it took me probably about 3 years. Last April, I started studying Louise Hay. One of her books, Experience Your Good Now, and she talked about writing affirmations and the way that you write them, and you write affirmations in the present tense as if it already exists. And, of course, you know, in working with my brother, you know, we went to scripture on it, on the way Louise A. suggested that you write affirmations, and it's like, think, the scripture says something like this, think it as though it is not, and so it's just basically whatever you want, you have to put it in the present tense. You have to already see that you have it, and that the universe will bring it to you. The universe, meaning God, will bring it to you. And ever since I started writing my affirmations, even saying my affirmations in the present tense, I remember all this started with a thought that now what has happened, I see a difference in my life because I've learned to speak affirmations as though they were, even though they're not. And it has changed my life for me. I have changed by being able to write and say affirmations, I think, in an appropriate way. It has changed. But everything starts with a thought. And then, you know, that thought comes up, you know, that burning desire to really want to find the answer to what I consider was a problem, and that was my affirmations. So, you know, but it all starts with a thought. Everything in life we do starts with a thought. And we have to make a decision to either follow up on our thought or, you know, put it behind us. But thoughts come to us, I think, for reasons. These thoughts are coming from Christ, because it's like this is something that, you know, he feels that we, number one, we need to do. And a lot of times things that we, that he himself wants us to do. So, you know, that thought, I mean, it's a powerful, I don't know what you call it, but it's just powerful. And it's like we have to follow up on things to see where it's going to go. Sometimes it all comes, the thought comes as a mystery. And, you know, you may say, well, why? You know, why should I do this? But if you follow up on the thought, I think you'll find out why. I guess there's no, I think, but you will find out why. Why the thought? Why is it present? Why did it come to me? There's a reason, just like there's a reason for everything. And for every action, there's a reaction. So we have to react upon our thought.
Very good. It's a well-known fact that emotional feeling rules the majority of people. It's also true that the subconscious mind responds more quickly to and is influenced more readily by thought impulses that are energized, just like Annette said, and just like Betty said, responds more quickly by emotion. It's essential to become familiar with the importance of emotion. And there are 7 major positive emotions. I think Ann has gone over them, but I think it's worth going on again.
Sharon, I just want to remind our callers that, you know, not only is the subconscious mind also about repetition. It's about desire. Your desire has to be strong. It's also about faith. Your faith has to be strong. You have to, like Ms. Ann McNeil always says, work like it all depends on you and pray like it. I'm mixing it up, but pray like it all depends on God and work like it all depends on you, something like that. But it has both those. So the subconscious mind goes hand in hand with your desire and your faith. So just want to remind our callers again, if you'd like to join us this morning and ask questions, please press 1 on your phone, or if you have a question, you can post it in our chat room, and we'll be happy to answer it for you. Live on the air, you're with Sharon, Betty, Ann McNeil, and Sharon Jackson. This is Stephanie Ebanks. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Back to you, Sharon.
All right. Ann, your mic is open.
Thank you, Sharon. I just also, to add on to what Stephanie just said, we are the Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group, and we meet every week by phone on Mondays at 6 a.m., and we discuss what our goals are for the week. We meet on Thursday by phone at 6 a.m., and we discuss what we have read this week in any area of our life, and we share a lesson learned with our group from what we've read, which has just been so very powerful because it helps all of us to have the benefit of what the other members have read. And then on Sundays, we meet in the afternoon in person to discuss our accomplishments for the week and what we ask to be held accountable for in any area of our life. So I just wanted to share that because when we talk about the subconscious mind, many of us have already began to experience great successes in every area of our lives based upon the affirmations that have been written on the front end of our masterminding process, whether it's a sentence or like Annette said, or it's a paragraph. When you think about going back to the 6 steps, Napoleon Hill calls them 6 steps to riches. One way to write your affirmation is if you take step number 1, which is how much money do you want, step number two, which is what you will give in return for the money, which is some kind of product or service. Step number three, by what date do you want to achieve that money? Step number four, which is to write a detailed action plan of how you will achieve that money. If you take those four steps, they become number five, which is an affirmation. And then number six step is to repeat that affirmation twice a day. And I have to keep repeating that because I think that we can talk about a lot of different things on this call and to our listening audience on Blog Talk Radio. But if you don't leave and remember anything else, think about the fact that you must have a dream to have a dream come true. What is it that you want? So very often in our subconscious mind, we're confused, and therefore we create confusion because that's what we're thinking about. One of our favorite books is called Conscious Language, and I'm not sure if Nefreda Thomas is still listening on the radio this morning, but if you are, Nefreda, if you want to share some thoughts about conscious language because it speaks into this entire chapter about the subconscious mind, because whatever we say, we get back. And it is such a powerful thought. Just studying that thought is just amazing. So, Sharon, that's all I wanted to share because it is just so much information we can discuss and we can never exhaust the subject, but we want to move on. But we also want to invite and encourage our listening audience to share their thoughts on the subconscious mind, if you have any.
Well, and I'm really sorry that you stopped because one of the things that became very real to me is how you should say all the time, what am I going to do when I'm 92? It's an affirmation. And it takes you, it helps you flow through your life. And I just thought it was very interesting, and I'd like for you to expound on that. And another reason why I thought that was interesting is because my mother just turned 92. And I think it's very important for us to think about those things. So I'm hoping that you won't stop, that you'll continue to expand on that idea.
Well, Sharon, thank you for the opportunity. But very simply, you know, we set goals in the different areas of our lives, but oftentimes when we're very young, and I'm talking about being a teenager and going into your 20s and even into your 30s, seldom do we stop and think about the fact that when we were in junior high school, we couldn't wait to get to high school. When we were in high school, we couldn't wait to get to college. When we were in college, we couldn't wait to get out and start our career. We get out and start our career, and we can't wait to get married and start a family. We wait to get married and we start that family. We can't wait for those kids to grow up and, you know what, leave home and start their own lives. And then they get up and they grow up and they start their own lives and they start to have children. And then we can't wait for grandchildren. We get the grandchildren. We can't wait for them to go home. And then before you know it, we have, you know, been rushing through life only to find at death we never lived. And so the whole idea of what will I do when I am 92 helps me to keep a vision so far ahead of me. It forces me to think about what will my life look like in the day I turn 92, I wake up in the morning, what does it look like? Did my kids decide to take me home or would they take me to a home based upon how I treated them during their years and my grandchildren in terms of did I take time best in their life? You know, am I financially able to be on my own and be independent or am I living in a dependent living facility for the aging? Did I take care of my health? And am I able to breathe on my own, or do I need to be assisted by a breathing apparatus? Am I using all my own organs, or am I having to go get, you know, my blood transfusion changed because my liver's not working properly, my heart's not working properly? You know, my eyesight, I didn't take care of my eyes. Now I need the assistance of glasses and bifocals and these kinds of things. But more importantly than all of that, Sharon, is the fact that we have a choice. And it goes back to, you know, our subconscious mind. Am I envisioning a life of health and prosperity and being able to travel the world at 92, driving that red Mercedes like your mom driving her red convertible car, you know, with the top down in the cold, and even if it's snowing, it's hers, and she can do whatever she wants to do. But I really would like to encourage everybody who's listening to us this morning, think about your own life. no matter what age you are. What does 92 look like? And in your subconscious mind, what are you drawing to you in terms of what that will look like in your life? Are you preparing yourself financially, spiritually? We're going to be dead a lot longer than we're living. Are we preparing for life after death? You know, in our health, are we taking care and exercising, getting the heart rate up and keeping a good, strong heart? Are we eating properly, drinking the waters, keeping our organs, you know, flushed and things like that? So I don't want to go on and on, but I really just think that when each of us think about a day in our life at 92, what does it look like, and can we afford it? Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. That was so good, and it was very energizing, because it is the reason why we make affirmations, to have, to let us flow through our life so that it is what we want it to be. I see that Nefreda has raised her hand. Your mic is open, Nefreda.
Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning?
Oh,
you all are having a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I am really enjoying it. I'm sorry I was a little late, but I really am glad at the point I did come in. And I did hear your comments about the book Conscious Language. And just to share my thoughts as it relates to what I've read through that book and experience, I had to really get to the point, and that book really helped me understand just how literal words are and how important it is that we make a conscious effort to focus on what we're saying on a regular, daily, continuous basis. It's something that is continuous. It does not stop. We say little small things that we don't think, you know, our people are paying attention to or the universe is paying attention to, but it really is. Like when we say things like, oh my goodness, I'm starving, oh my stomach is killing me, I really don't feel like walking today, I don't feel, little simple things that we say, they become literal, and that's what that book explains to you, just how literal the words that we speak are. And I've been doing some little practicing this week just from some things that I've, because I look at The Secret every morning, and I've just been doing some things that I've been changing, and I've been noticing a definite change in my atmosphere, my surroundings, about the things that I've been doing. And I don't use those little phrases anymore, because those little phrases become true because we continuously speak them, because they become a part of our language. And we need to change that, because a lot of things that we experience is because we continue to speak it. You know, oh, my husband gets on my nerves. Well, guess what? He's going to continue to get on your nerves because you always say that he does. So therefore, we need to change the little things that we say in order to make the bigger things more of a reality for us. And that's what I'm learning. I've learned through reading the book Conscious Language, and also just being more focused on what my mind is conceiving and thinking, because those are the things that will manifest in my life because I'm constantly in tune with them. So I do my best to remain in tune with the things that I desire, even though they are not a part of my physical area right now. It is what I desire, so I stay focused on it, and I'm noticing all the little things that are getting in line and place because of my thought process. So I'm very thankful about that, and it's necessary, because what Angela was speaking about what happens when you're 92, what happens when you're 80, when you're 72. You know, most of you know I'm taking care of my mother and doing my best to make sure that she's okay. And because my mom was such a giver to me and such an inspiration and an inspiration to this community, I felt it my responsibility to make sure that in this time of her life that she is comfortable and that she is around people that love her on a regular and continuous basis. So I just wanted to share that with you and let you know and echo that everything that you said is true, and that it is a reflection of what you've experienced, of what you will become, and what you do as life continues to unfold before us. So thank you all so much, and have a wonderful, wonderful call. I've really enjoyed this morning. You all have done a wonderful job. Thank you all so much.
And we enjoyed having you. Thank you so much for calling in. That was good conversation. That was good conversation. Thank you very much. Buddy and
Ann and Betty and Ann and Nefreda have all brought up interesting comments, things that take us on through life. And that's what everyone is drawing on. If you listen to the news, if you listen to people's conversations, you have to make a decision. We all have to make a decision as to how we're going to use this information for our good. Because if we don't make a decision, it will be made for us. I see that Stephanie is raising your hand to make a comment. I'm opening your mic, Stephanie. Stacy.
Well, good morning, everyone, and I want to just say I'm enjoying the conversation today and glad that you guys are in charge this morning. I did want to just thank Anne for reflecting on 92, and, you know, I started thinking about my grandmother, and, you know, even our conversation today is talking about the conscious mind, and she envisioned her children in the medical profession. You know, she envisioned all of them as professional doctors, and she spoke that to them. And so sometimes we can affect other people's lives by our own conscious thinking. And she lived to 92. Actually, she lived to... 92. And I think that she fulfilled all of her wishes, and I thank you for reminding me about that, and look forward to doing the same thing with my own life. So I thank you for just focusing our attention, you know, how can what we think about affect the lives of all of the people around us, and we can. So our thoughts are definitely very important, and we do have to keep them being positive, because it's so easy to fall into the negative and be caught up in that spiral. And, you know, if you have something to hold on to that's positive, it can really pull you out of the mire. So I'm living it, and I know it to be true. So thank you so much for the show and for all of your comments.
And Sharon, I want to just remind all our guests after Stacy's insightful comments to remember to join us on Blog Talk Radio each and every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. You may join us via the computer. You may join us via online. You can talk to us in the chat room. If you have a question, you can type it in the chat room, and I'll be happy to post it online for you. If you want to speak directly to our host, please press 1 on your phone to raise your hand, and we'll be happy to log you in. All right, we just want to welcome you again to Blog Talk Radio with the International Masterminders with the Palm Beach Life Planners. Sharon? Go ahead. You know, Sherry, before you go, there's something I wanted to say on this chapter on subconscious mind. If there's a poem in that chapter, chapter 11, by Ella Wheeler Wilcox that really speaks about the power of the mind, that I would like to read if it's okay with you.
Absolutely.
You can never tell what a thought will do in brings your hate, in bringing you hate or love. For thoughts are things, and their airy wings are swifter than carrier doves. They follow the law of the universe. Each thing creates its kind, and their speed o'er the tracks to bring you back whatever went out from your mind. I think that just speaks for itself, that whatever thought you put out is going to come back to you. So be careful, because your thoughts are powerful things. You think about, you bring about. So remember that phrase. And Sharon, that's just what I have to say for right now.
Very good. We are going to start winding down here. So I want to make sure, I want to reiterate what Stephanie just said about raising your hand, because we want to hear from everyone. I'd like to go back to Betty, because Betty always has wisdom to share.
wisdom to share about thoughts and things, about energy, and about moving forward. Betty, are there final comments that you would like to share?
I'd just like to mention very briefly those seven major positive emotions that are mentioned in this subconscious chapter. It starts out with the emotion of desire, and as I said, everything starts with desire. That's why that is listed as the very first step in the 13 steps to riches. So they are desire, faith, because whatever we desire, whatever we want, we've got to have that faith. Then there's love, there's sex, there's enthusiasm, there's romance, there's hope. And these are not all. There are many more, but these are seven of the most powerful ones and the ones that are most used in creative effort. So if we can just master these seven, we will be doing well. Now, how do we master them? We can only master them by using them, not just thinking about them, talking about them. We have to use them, which means action has to be taken in everything. In order to accomplish something, in order to create something, action must be taken. We're all trying to develop money consciousness, but in order to do that, we've got to fill our mind with positive emotions and don't let those negative emotions overtake us. Now, it is true that positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One is going to dominate. It's either going to be positive or it's going to be negative. It is up to you to make sure that the positive emotion is the dominating influence of your mind. That takes you right back to the law of habit. As Stephanie said earlier, repetition, repetition. Form the habit of applying and using those positive emotions. When you keep doing that, eventually they will dominate your mind so completely that there won't be room for the negative emotions or the negative thoughts. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Thank you, Betty. You took me back to a time way back 20 years ago when I was a newbie out of school that didn't know that I had a writing problem because nobody told me. And I remember writing and writing and have to rewrite, and people were criticizing my writing. And I did very much what you said, my enthusiasm and then my desire to be what I knew I could be. I remember every morning talking to God and being in my subconscious saying, I know you're the greatest writer on earth and in heaven. And since I am your daughter, that means I'm a great writer. Not only am I a great writer, but I'm a great speaker. I did it over and over and over again. I did it with desire. I did it with faith. I did it with enthusiasm. I did it with hope. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm writing a report, and it just flowed. It became real. It became real because I was thinking it every day. It became real because I was speaking it every day. At the time, I didn't know that I should be writing it down, but I did it every day, and then all of a sudden it manifests itself. And I was working through that report, and I said, oh, my gosh, look at you, Sharon Jackson, writing this report. That thing went straight through. So I just thank you, Betty, for those comments. I really, really appreciate it. Anne, are there any final thoughts that you would like to bring forward on this? Oh, okay. Stephanie, we're winding down. Any more words of wisdom?
Sharon, I'm sorry, it's Anne. I had myself on mute. But my final thought would be the same thing I always say, and that's the fact that you must have a dream to have a dream come true. And it speaks louder than words can actually say because, again, you must have a dream to have a dream come true. That's my last statement. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any final statements from you, Stephanie?
Sharon, I think we have a little bit more time than you think we do. So check your time schedule. But you know what? I mean, we are. I mean, how many times can you say it? The mind is just a powerful tool. It is a tool. It is a tool that you have to use wisely and well. And if you perfect that tool and perfect your use of it, it can take you anywhere you want to go, and you can do anything you want to do and achieve anything you want to achieve. You just got to work on it. Just like anything else, just like Sharon has to practice her writing. If you are of your stutter and they tell you to go in front of the mirror and look in front of the mirror and practice speaking, whatever it is you do, it's all about repeating, repeating. You know, they say practice makes perfect. And it
Stephanie, will you share, I'm sorry, Stephanie, will you share with us your story about becoming an airline stewardess?
Thank you. Exactly what I was going to ask.
I don't know. My mom used to take us, you know, I grew up in Jamaica, and every time my mom would come in, we'd go with her to the airport, and it's one of those old-fashioned airports where you could sit and watch the planes take off, and you could wave to the person as they're going, boarding the plane, and I'd go to that airport, you know, 2-3 times a year whenever she'd come in to visit us, and I would say to myself over and over, one of those days, I'm going to be on that plane where ever it's going. Every time I see a plane fly over, I'm like, one of those days, I'm going to be on that plane. No matter where it's going, I'm going to be on it, you know, over and over. And, I, you know, getting in the airline business is not easy. It takes a lot of prep, a lot of interviewing and interviewing and interviewing and interviewing. And, yeah, I went to practically every airline there was and interviewed. And I never got hired at the flight center, but I did get hired in a reservation. And it was my stepping stone to being on that airplane wherever it was going, because that company allowed you, once you were with the company, to go into in-flight. And that's what I did. That's what I did. You know, I didn't blow it off and say, okay, I can't get in. Nobody's hiring me. You know, I'm just going to give up. I didn't quit. I found a way to get there. Just like, I forgot his name in the book. I'm drawing a blank right now. He found a way to work with Inventor. He took a back door and made it happen. So that's what you've got to do. You cannot quit. You just got to find a way. You got to move on and put it there and put it out to the universe and repeat it in your mind. I'm going to do that. That's what I want to do. And I'm going to some way, somehow, that's how I'm going to get it done. And I'm just not going to quit. If there's anyone who'd like to join us on the call, please raise your hand. We are open to taking questions or comments. If you'd like to share your story or your thoughts, and we also have they're in the chat room. If you'd like to post a question, please let us know. Sharon, back to you.
Very good. Thank you so much. I'm so glad Anne brought that up, because that was the next point that I was going to bring up, is for you to share that story, because it's very powerful. It's absolutely very powerful. One that young people, young and old, need to hear it all the time. And the reason is it used every one of the major positive emotions. You had incredible desire. You had faith. You were brought to the airport because of love. You had enthusiasm because you never stopped. You were romance because of all of the romantic ideas related to flying to all exotic areas of the world. And you had incredible hope. And the thing is, Stephanie, I listened to you talk. You have been everywhere. You will fulfill that dream, that idea that you put down into your subconscious when you were a very young woman, and you're fulfilling it. Now, the thing that we are going to have to hear from you now is that now that you are a mature young woman, what are you putting down into your subconscious to pull out of the infinite to take you on to the next step? You don't have to answer that right now, but we will look for it later. Because it's like what Anne said, you have to have a dream. You had a dream, you fulfilled your dream, you brought it out of the infinite from your subconscious. Now the next step. It's going to be incredible, and I can't wait to hear it.
Sharon, I'd like to give all of us who are IMAers listening in to this radio show, I'd like to give us a charge. And that charge is, what do you envision this organization will look like 100 years from now? And what can each one of you, each one of us, do today, tomorrow, next year, and the next year to build upon that, to create that into a reality? Because many universities and many organizations and many corporations started with an idea. And what we're doing is helping people to understand how to change their lives. It is so powerful and so easy that we look over the fact, because we're only thinking about the now. It's not just the now. So I'd like to just leave that as a charge for all of our listening audience. And even if you're not in the organization, you know, think about 100 years from now, what's your vision for the legacy that you're going to leave for your family and friends, and what kind of life of significance are you going to live? Thank you, Sharon.
Well, that's interesting. That goes back to what Stacy was talking about. Her mother or her grandmother verbalized over her family. She had a declaration. She had a dream. Very similar to what you said. She had a life dream, and that's something to take a step further for what you said. We talk about this as subconscious, to fill a dream, to fulfill a desire, to fulfill our divine purpose on earth. But you know what? I believe you said it, Anne. It's not just for us to have actions and thoughts and dreams and plans about ourselves, but to have family goals, to have family dreams, to have family aspirations. And that's very important. I'm hoping that you'll come back, Anne, and speak to that. It would be nice for Stephanie, Stacy, to be able to come back, too, speak to that. That is very, very important. It's not just me. It is we.
Well, Sharon, one of the reasons why we're on this call today is because many of us, many years ago, as we were masterminding, people would say, you know, what are you doing? Can you show me what you're doing? And then the more people we showed, the more people who said, can you show me what you're doing? And it took us many, 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 many years to come to the realization that God did not give us this gift of masterminding to sit on just for us. That's very selfish. And so I had to step back myself and start with myself and come to the realization that the only way to share this in a major way is to institutionalize the concept, organize the idea, and form what is now called the International Mastermind Association, which is one of, you know, we started out as Masterminding, then Mastermind Women Organization, then the Mastermind Empowerment, and now our third iteration of the organization is now called the International Mastermind Association, because we have people who are out of the United States who are part of our organization. So, again, my point is this is our dream come true for me personally, but for the organization and the founding members of this organization, because we wanted to share the concept. This is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. Even being on this call, we can all be somewhere else. But we've made a conscious decision that is a part of branding the idea of masterminding, that we need to share this with the world and create a platform and a system that people can follow any place in the world. So if you're listening to this, a year from now or 5 or 10 years from now, and you'd like to get more information about how to mastermind your dreams, go to www.internationalmasterminders.com. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. That was powerful. I appreciate that a lot. I appreciate that because it's so important. It's more important than people think. It's like you and when you speak, affirmations are spoken words, and you affirm over people's lives. You affirm over your own life, and it's so important. It goes back to what Nefreda was talking about, conscious speaking. You affirm. It's almost to the point where you need to be very careful even what you're naming your children. That's an affirmation. the name that you call them is an affirmation, and you affirm that every day. All right, thank you very much. Now, Betty, I would like to go back to you because you always have something very important to say in terms of wisdom, in terms of speaking over family life.
Sharon, I think we've lost Betty temporarily, but okay. You know what? I was reading in the book, and Subconscious Mind, and they talk about the seven major negative emotions that people only go to prayer after everything else has failed in their lives, and then they speak meaningless words because when they're full of doubt and fear, and that doubt and fear is what the universe hears. It doesn't hear the prayer. Your doubt and your fear overwhelm your prayer. So when you go to pray after everything else has failed, remember, before you kneel down to pray, clean your mind. I know it sounds like it's easy. I know it's not. It's not an easy thing. Nothing in this life is easy. If it was easy, if everything in this life was easy, we'd all be rich, thin, and million, and and walking on cloud nine. It is not. And it is, but before you kneel down to pray, take a minute, take a deep breath, and try and put those doubts and fears aside, and go to prayer in faith and hope. Use positive emotions instead of negative, because a negative emotion is what the universe hears or God hears, not the hope and the faith. What is resonating is the doubt and the fear. So put those doubts and fears aside whenever you kneel down to pray as a part of your subconscious mind. All right. That's my thought for this.
I'm going to add to that because in one of our sessions, Stephanie, I heard a woman say that before she prayed, before she went into her subconscious to link into the infinite, she took a giant sieve through her body. And the whole point of a sieve is to do what? It takes out the clumps and flour. It takes out any impurities. And she took it through her own body. She took off pain. She took the sieve and she wiped out any fear, jealousy, any hatred, any thoughts of revenge. She took out any thoughts of greed, superstition, anger, anything that would bring her consternation. She took the sieve and she drained all of that out of her body. And then she came back in and she filled her body with love, desire, faith, enthusiasm. This is a process. We've already talked about this. This is a process and it takes time to allow this to work. But it's doing those types of things, draining yourself of all the negativity and filling yourself with all the positive emotions, because that is what takes us into the infinite. It's that part of linking yourself with the infinite. This is the year, I believe, that this is the year that if you link into the infinite, and you know what? Oh, gosh, I hope that Anne is still there, and Anne will talk to this. When you link into the infinite, you can tie yourself to large projects that will come to you without major effort on your behalf. We work and we work and we work hard, whereas, and I heard it earlier in the conversation, if you pull from the infinite, it comes much easier and it flows and it comes without this ease. And you have done this a lot of times. Can you talk to how you worked the process?
You must have a dream to have a dream come true. You know, we talk about the big things. Let me share a very short testimonial about something very small. And we do this conversation, we have this conversation, if you will, and we share the why and we share the what and we share the how, because we want people to understand when you can manifest something small, you can manifest something big. I'll give you something small and I'll give you something big and I'll be quick. I was packing this week on Tuesday to go to Tallahassee to lobby on behalf of the National Association of Black Women in Construction. As I was packing my luggage, I don't like to carry a handbag because the airline will only allow you two pieces of luggage to enter the flight. So I had a thought in my mind. I said I would really like to have a very small purse, just a little something small, just to put my cell phone in and my ID. So when I get on the plane, I just have this little purse. I can pull it out real quickly, use my phone, and use my ID. So I had nothing of it. Got to the conference, was registering with the National Association of 100 Black Women, and in the conference bag was what? A little, small, really feminine purse with a zipper that I could put my cell phone in with my ID. Stephanie Eubanks, who's one of our mastermind members in Palm Beach Life Planners, did not know this. Many years ago, I had the same thought, you know, something a little small would like to carry. She brought back for each of us, well, for me, I'm not sure about the other members, a little small clutch. She did not know that I had seen the exact same clutch in an airport somewhere in the world and thought I would love to have it, but I didn't want to invest the money to buy it. She brought it back for Christmas. Something small, something big, something big. Many years ago in my life, I was a panhandler. Yes, panhandler, asking and begging people for $5 a day. But I did not look like a traditional panhandler. Why? Because I was driving an $80,000 car, hadn't paid payments, people didn't know that, business going out of business, people did not know that. But that's where I was, asking my friends for $5 a day, just like a panhandler, but they didn't know that. But as I was going through that, I was also in a situation where I was homeless, living in somebody else's home. They didn't know that either. So every day I would drive around a really exclusive neighborhood, and I would envision living in this beautiful, 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 these beautiful homes. Did not have a pot to you know what in. Did not have a dime to my name. Had pictures on my refrigerator of what I would love to live in. Golf course home, Olympic-sized pool, all on my refrigerator. I go, and as I'm driving around, I come across this home that had a little small sign in front. I call the owners to look at the home. Needless to say, I ended up moving in that home and did not put a dime down on the house. Did not have a dollar in the bank. Told the man that when I looked at the house, but I also told him I could not explain it, but that was my house. Who would have ever thought, only by the grace of God and by his spirit and the visualization and the subconscious language of me talking to myself, masterminding every day, that man allowed me to move into that house, put the key in my hand without a dime. Something small, something big. That is why, in my mind, you'll always hear me say, you must have a dream to have a dream come true. It doesn't matter if it's something small or something big. And I'm sure everybody who's listening to me have their own stories. But the key to the point we're all making today is this. Once we understand how to package that, systematize it, and use it and bring it about in every area of our life, what is it that we could want and we cannot achieve? Thank you, Sharon.
I'm Sharon, we have Betty back with us, and we also have Annette who would like to ask a question. But first, ahead, before we go to Annette, let's go back to Betty. Betty, go ahead. You're live.
Okay, I just wanted to add, Stephanie, I wanted to add to what you were saying about the prayer.
Yeah.
It's very important when we pray that we pray with belief and we're not just mouthing a request, because a prayer sometimes results in a realization of that, you know, for which we pray. So we have to believe when we're praying that we are actually going to receive that. Now, a lot of people are not taught this about prayer, but that, because there is a science of prayer. In some seminaries, they actually teach the science of prayer. But if we could understand or teach our young people to understand the power of prayer and the proper way to pray, then they will pray with much better results. Ignorance, superstition, false teaching needs to disappear, and we need to reach our true status as children of infinite intelligence, children of the divine creator. Because once we do that, we will see a difference in our lives, a difference in our accomplishments, and just an overall positive life change. So we just need to be thankful for the power of faith. We need to be thankful for everything that we have learned from the Bible. And just to say that this Think and Grow Rich book is biblically based. When you talk about faith and desire, it all goes back to the original teachings of the Bible. So this book does not replace the Bible. It actually is a supplement, and it puts into action some of the principles that we learned first in the Bible. I just want to add that thought.
Thank you, Betty. I guess we have lost Annette, and we're down to the last 2 minutes of the show, Sharon. Just want to make a comment before we log off. If you are interested in masterminding or learning more about mastermind, please visit our website at www.internationalmasterminders.com. And also, if you're interested in Anne McNeil, our president and CEO of MCO Construction, you can listen to her on Monday morning. Why you really need to mastermind your own business. As you know, she's a successful entrepreneur at 8 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. So join Anne Monday morning at 8 as she discusses why you need to really mastermind your own business. Sharon, back to you, and we have our last minute and a half. If anybody else would like to join us for any questions, we see I have someone here who would like to join us for a question. One moment as we figure out who you are. Hold on. Sharon, go ahead and speak.
Oh, thank you. I just want to make sure everyone understands we will be on it next week. We will find, if we can get through the last part of the chapter on subconscious mind, we will do that. And if we do, then we will go on to the brain. It is very, very, these are every chapter in Think and Grow Rich is significant. But it's the use of the subconscious mind, and it's the positive use of the brain that allows us to fulfill our divine purpose in life.
Annette came back on and would like to speak for a quick second before we log off. Actually, I don't think we're going to get to her, so Annette next week, and Sharon, you can continue to wrap up.
Okay, we will, we just want to tell you how much we enjoyed the time, and we're hoping that you will come back next week to experience with us our continual walk with Think and Grow Rich. This is Sharon Jackson from the Palm Beach Life Planners, along with Ann McNeil, Betty Knighton, and Stephanie Ebanks, and we're signing off saying thank you. It's important to have a dream.